Les, thank you for that song. Wonderful song. Wonderful Savior. One verse said, let's go to a world that is dying. And tell them of his wonderful grace. They're looking for satisfaction in everything in this world. And it's just going to leave them empty, full of despair. But when you can see him with the eye of faith, nothing else doesn't matter. Nothing else doesn't matter. Open your Bible to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Reading verses 1 through 13. Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? Who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all the children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. Now notice that. They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. That's the title of the message. The elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Here in these verses, our Lord sets forth in such clear terms his sovereign electing grace. And he illustrates it in these two boys, Jacob and Esau. We see it many times in the scriptures, Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The one was born first, the younger Jacob. He represents that new nature which is born of God. Jacob and Esau were twins, but they were totally opposites. They were twins, but they were totally opposites. One was chosen, one was rejected. One was loved and one was hated. As soon as Rebekah conceived in Genesis 25, this struggle between these two boys began. This struggle. Listen, in Genesis 25, verse 21, if you want to turn there. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. Can you imagine what's going on in her mind? This struggle begins. And she said, if it be so, why am I this way? And she went to inquire of the Lord. I can see her. This drove her to him. Why am I this way? He told her now, he said, before they were ever born, the elder is going to serve the younger. And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, he give her an answer. There are two nations in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other. And the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days were be delivered, were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. Who determined which one would be born first? God did. He's born first. And after him came out his brother. And after that came his brother out. And his hand, Jacob's hand, took hold of Esau's heel. I think, I don't understand all this, but I think something that he knew that he needed, and he was grasping the birthright. And he took hold of Esau's heel. And so his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. The elder and the younger. Esau was the oldest because he was born first. What that pictures and sets forth, who was born first? Your old, depraved, sinful nature. That's what you inherited from your parents. You was born first. You come into this world a sinner. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. He's been around a long time. And that which is, all through this book, that which is born first is always rejected. Remember Cain and Abel? Cain brought the works of his hands. Abel brought a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. God rejected Cain, and he received Abel. And Cain couldn't stand it because Cain thought he should be accepted based upon his works. That which is born of the flesh. Now listen to me. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and it will never be anything else but flesh. It's not improving flesh. It's not getting better flesh. It is flesh. Flesh. Religion tells you your flesh is getting better. If you'll just do certain things, that then you can be holier. I picked up a little tract the other day, a so-called tract. I don't even know if I'd call it that. And I can't remember who it was written by, and it was When Salt Becomes Unsavory. And as I begin to read it, all he was talking about was, is if you could keep the law, and you, the law is our rule of life, well then you won't lose your savor. This legalism, and oh, you know what that is? That's nothing but flesh. Nothing but flesh. You think about this. When Samuel goes to Jesse's house to anoint a king, that first boy walks in, Samuel says, this must be the one God's chose. And they march him, then the other one, and they march all seven of them through. They don't even invite David. And he says, it's none of these. And he says to Jesse, is there not any more sons? Well, yeah, there's David. Which one did God choose? He passed over all the others. You know what that is? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But this one is a man after God's own heart. And the only difference, he's a man after God's own heart, that's God's grace. That's the new birth. Flesh will never change. It's not improving. It's not getting better. Like Esau, God just leaves it alone. And that's what it ended. It's just like what you read, Rex. That man, he died. That rich man died. He died in the flesh. And when this man's in hell, and it's not this, in all these torments, it's not changed his flesh. He still thinks if God will send somebody back from the dead, and he even argues with him. Like he knows better than God, well, if you'll send somebody back from the dead, well, then they will believe. He said, no, they won't. But what I want you to see, even when he dies, it's not changed his flesh. Even the torments of hell have not changed his idea of God and how a man's accepted. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. The scriptures say, Jeremiah 6:30, reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. You know what makes men mad? When they hear that God rejects their flesh. He rejects it. He rejects it. Jacob was the younger. He was born after Esau. Jacob pictures the new nature. That which is born of God. That which the new birth, the divine nature. The one that is loved. The one that is accepted. The one that's not rejected. The one that is always received. Was it that? What made the difference in these two boys? I'll tell you exactly what made the difference. Grace made the difference. You can't get any closer than they have the same parents, conceived at the same time, developed in the same womb, and God hates one and loves the other. There's many examples of this in the scriptures. You remember Ishmael and Isaac? Ishmael was born first, born after the flesh. Everything was okay. Everything was fine in Abraham's house. I think Ishmael was about 14 years old before Isaac was born. But here's what happens. Everything's okay in Abraham and Sarah's house as long as Ishmael's the only one in the house. But then Sarah conceives. And Isaac's born. And he that's born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. He rejected Ishmael. He's not of the promise, but it's Isaac. It says in Galatians 4:28, Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so is it now. Why is it you have so much trouble in here? Why is it, as a believer, you have so much trouble? And if you don't have any trouble in here, there's something wrong. If there's no trouble, there's only one ruling. But when God in his grace comes in and indwells a person's heart, now there's a conflict. He that was born after the Spirit, even so is it now. He that was born after the flesh persecuted them. Nevertheless, what saith the scriptures, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, we're of the free. One is a servant, one is free. Ishmael's mother was a servant, and that's all she would ever be. Isaac was free. He's the child of promise. Give you another one. You remember the prodigal son? Was he the oldest or the youngest? He was the youngest. The prodigal, the father gave him what he wanted and he left and he went into the far country and wasted his substance on riotous living. God brought him to himself, awakened his heart and his mind, and he came back to the Father, and the Father received him. But what about the older brother? That whole story, that whole chapter is about God dealing with them self-righteous Pharisees. And then he comes right around, he comes full circle, and he comes to that elder brother. And you know what the elder brother said? I've never forsaken you. I've served you my whole life. I've always kept the law. I've worked in the field. I've got blisters on my hands. Does that not amount to nothing? You see the elder brother? That's the elder brother. That's the one God rejects. He comes back from the farm, back from the field, and he goes, "What's that? What's that I hear? Why are they playing music up there at the house? Why is everybody so happy?" And I can see somebody run out and said, "Ain't you heard? That the brother, the younger brother, he's come back home. The father's killed the fatted calf. He's put the best robe on him and the ring on his finger. And we're celebrating. Really? I ain't going in there." Does that not describe our old nature? I won't go in, but Brad, look what all I've done. Look what all I've done. Our nature that we are born with, that old man, I'm making a point. It might take me a little while to get there, but just bear with me. That nature is totally corrupt, and it's totally wicked. We are children of disobedience. We are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. From the sole of our foot to the top of our head, there's no soundness in it. The whole head is sick. When we are born, we're all born depraved and without God. Everything we do, everything we touch, we defile it. We cannot have one good thought. Listen in Romans chapter 8, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Where does this enmity come from? God said in the garden, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The older son is always resentful of the younger son. He thinks he's more wise, more strong, and he thinks that he ought to be rewarded based on who he is. A person who is born of God, who is a new creature in Christ, now has a divine nature, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. This new man is born of God, brought into being in time by the will and purpose of God. And every believer and every child of God resides to totally opposite natures. That's why Paul would say, "Oh, wretched man that I am." The one born of the flesh, the elder. The born of the Spirit, the younger. And as long as we're in this world, we're going to deal with it. We're going to deal with it. "Whatsoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God." And the old man, that old man, he can do nothing but sin. You think about that. He can do nothing but sin. These two natures, they are so opposed to each other. They never become friends. Joe Turrell wrote an article one time, and he wrote it so plain, and it just blessed my heart. He said it's like you've got these two neighbors living in this one little complex. They have to live side by side, and here this one guy, all he wants to do all night long is to play his music just wide open. Well, then he's out there in the front yard. He throws his trash everywhere. He's got a dog that's out there barking, and he's just always aggravating you. Everything he does, he just does it just to, he knows you don't like it. He's just going to do it anyway. Does that sound familiar? You try to come into the house of God and try to worship, and you think, well, why was I thinking about that? Why was I worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow? That doesn't matter. Where does all that come from? That comes from that old nature. You ever notice when Abraham died, Ishmael and Isaac both buried him? And I heard Henry say one time, bless my heart, he said, as long as you're in this world, there's always going to be Isaac and Ishmael. And Ishmael's always going to be standing around the corner just mocking. Just a mocking. Just irritating you. Just aggravating you. But what I'm getting at, he may aggravate you, but the elder does serve the younger. Even that old neighbor, after throwing out the trash, he serves a purpose. He serves a purpose. The elder shall serve the younger. Outwardly, it may seem like the elder rules, but that older one serves the younger. It may seem, well, look at it, when Jacob deceives his father and gets the birthright, who has to leave? Jacob does. Esau gets to stay at home. He's in favor with his daddy. Jacob has to go live in Laban's house. And he changes his wages 10 times. But when Jacob leaves Laban's house, he's a different man. God even brings him to the place before he comes back home. Who does he have to face? He has to face the elder brother. And Esau's coming with 400 men. And you know what this causes Jacob to do? He goes that night, and God came to him and wrestled with him. And wrestled him down because God wanted Jacob to wrestle with him. And he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said, what's your name? And he said, my name's Jacob. He said, I'm going to change your name from Jacob to Israel. So you see how even all this, everything that happened, served Jacob. The elder shall serve the younger. It may seem like Esau is greater and Jacob the weaker. You look there in Genesis when it gives the descendants of Esau, the Edomites, it always says they're dukes. They're dukes. Oh, they're so prominent. Oh, they just so prestigious. Well, what about Jacob's children? Then the next chapter you see it talks about and it gives the lineage of Joseph. Well, what about Jacob's kids? Well, his brothers hate Joseph and they're going to sell him into Egypt. And then they've got to go live in Egypt for 400 years. You go, well, it seems like the elder or the younger serving the elder. Well, just wait a little while. Eventually, God's going to bring them out of Egypt. God's going to bring them through the wilderness. He's going to bring them into Canaan. He's going to bring them through the judges. And then one day, God's going to raise him up a king. And listen, 2 Samuel chapter 8. What about them Edomites? What about them Edomites? And David put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all of Edom put he garrisons. And all they of Edom became David's servants. They became what? They became David's servants. And the Lord preserved David wheresoever he went. And David reigned over all Israel. And David executed judgment and justice unto all the people. Our Lord reigns. You know what the word garrison means? He says that means he put soldiers in their where they were at to govern them. The people of Edom, Esau, became David's servants. They served his purpose. You remember that. All this world serves our God's purpose. The elder shall serve the younger. Here's what Mr. Hawker said. Listen, here we have a picture of what our great king does when he subdues the corruption of our nature by the conquest of his grace. The Holy Spirit garrisons our souls with his divine presence and converts the very weapons, and he says, our time and our talents, which in a state of nature we used as artillery against heaven, he converts these very weapons that were once used against him to serve his kingdom. He subdues it. He conquers it. And now it serves his purpose. Christ our Lord. Listen, we are no match. We are no match for our old man, but he is. He subdues it. He subdues it. Have you ever asked the question, when God saved me and God came to indwell my heart and God set up his throne in my heart, why didn't he just totally eradicate my sinful nature? You ever asked that question? Why didn't he just totally take it away? Well, I wished he had. But he didn't. He left it for a reason. It serves his purpose. The elder shall serve the younger. Listen to me. The very thing that we think will destroy us, God will cause it to serve us, to wean us from this world, and to force us to seek his face. You know, as I think about David, you look at David, God chose him and raised him up as king, and Saul is a picture of the flesh. You know, he's the one we chose as king. And we set up his reign, and he hates and despises David. And most of David's early life, you know where he is? He's running from King Saul, living in a cave. Didn't he? And David, one day, he said, I'm only one step between now and death. One day, he's going to destroy me. No, he didn't. Saul chasing David, it served David. It served him. This world serves God's church. That's right. We see the news, we see all this that's going on, and we go, man, it's awful. It's awful. This world is in a bad place. Our nation's in a bad place. We see the judgment of God. We see almost, and it terrifies us to think, God, please don't pull your hand back. If you keep pulling it back, we're in a bigger mess. But all this, now listen to me. Now get this, every bit of it serves his purpose and it serves his church. Every bit of it. This world and everything corrupt in it now serves the Lord Jesus Christ. To the world, God's church seems so insignificant. And the world seems to overcome the church. It seems like the world rules. It may seem like the world is in control. But this world, this religious, rejected, hated world, you listen to me, it serves our Lord Jesus Christ. We quote this verse, and we should quote it often. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things. All things. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord, and he turns it whichever way he wants it to go. Let me give you an illustration. The children of Israel are in Egypt. God's blessed them. They live in the best land in all Egypt. They live in Goshen. Joseph is known throughout all the land. The only reason Egypt exists is because of Joseph. One day Joseph dies, and all that generation dies, and God raises up a Pharaoh who does not know Joseph. And things change. He begins to afflict them. He begins to raise up taskmasters. And then he begins, says, we're going to kill every baby boy. We're going to wipe them out. And you know what the scripture says? The more they afflicted them, the more they grew. Did that serve God's purpose? The elder. Pharaoh, you're going to serve my purpose. And he does. And he does. Listen in Revelations chapter 12, verse 12. Listen. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. Even Satan serves God's purpose. You remember that. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. He hates her. He despises the church. He persecutes her. And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood, a picture of his false doctrine. He cast this out of his mouth as a flood. He cast this flood after the woman. He means his intention is to consume the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away with the flood. I'll just destroy her. I'll do away with her. And listen to this next statement. And the earth helped the woman. It helped who? Helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth. This earth, this cursed earth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. They just swallow it up. Isn't that what this world does? They just swallow up Satan's doctrine. Just deceive you. Go, well, what's the purpose? It serves God's church. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The elder shall serve the younger. Corruption, that old nature, he still serves that new nature. Our old man, that elder, he still strives to earn acceptance by something it can do. And all that it can do is sin. It cannot see, it cannot understand, it cannot do anything to please God. It's born of the flesh. And outwardly, many times, it seems like the old man rules. Outwardly, it may look like the men of the flesh outnumber those who are born of the Spirit. But the elder does serve the younger. Everything in this world serves the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what made those people so mad on the day of Pentecost? God hath made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He said, you took him, and by wicked hands, you crucified him and you slayed him. You did exactly what your wicked heart wanted to do. But in all the time, you did exactly what God decreed to be done. Listen, Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Why? That in all things, he may have the preeminence. And he does. It all serves him. And when he sets up his reign, it's going to serve his purpose. Sometimes we may think it's going to drive us insane. But you know what it does? It drives us to him. And if it drives me to him, that's good. It serves him. And it does. Amen.